This is Rising Challenge, a Star Wars The Clone Wars, Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones fanfic, written by Morgan Larry and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and is gen, with additional tags for pre-canon, alternate universe canon divergence, Mandalorian Civil War, alternate universe Visible Souls. Summary. A black swan still rises above the daughters of Duke Kreese, and a different figure marks their connection with the adopted son of the Mandalore. A silent promise of danger to those who would tear them down. Satine is not expecting to find her sister waiting at her apartments on Coruscant when she comes back from the Senate building and the frustrating job of trying to be an aide to a politician who finds her very existence distasteful to acknowledge. She hasn't seen Bo-Katan since their parents had sent her away to Coruscant, barely even heard from her sister in the 6 years since the younger Kreese had rejected family and clan in favor of the Mandalore and his warrior's path. "You're not supposed to be here." Satine ushers Bo-Katan into the tiny space that is all she is granted, and that begrudgingly, by the senator for Mandalore. "Father will do worse than disown you if he knows." Bo-Katan is silent, her face hidden by the helmet she's wearing, though the owl that Satine still sees through all the years and changes between them flares its wings in agitation. Afraid, perhaps, of exactly that happening. That they might be separated more permanently because they dare defy the hopes of their parents, that being kept apart will lessen their bond to each other in favor of others. Only when the door shuts behind Satine does Bo-Katan lift the blue and silver helmet, setting it aside, letting Satine see how gray her sister's skin is, the hollowness of her eyes. "Sante Kreese can't do anything to me anymore, Vodica." She draws in a breath that catches at the end, not quite a sob. "He's dead, Satine. Deathwatch murdered him." Satine stares at Bo-Katan, peripherally aware of the key she'd been holding onto, hitting the floor with a dull thud. "What?" Bo-Katan steps close enough for the black swan that Satine has missed to mantle its wings above their heads, reaching out to grip Satine's hands in her own, the soft leather of the underside of her gauntlets warm, rubbing her thumbs across the backs of Satine's hands in a comforting gesture. "Sorvisla sent an assassin to murder Sande when he refused to choose sides in his rebellion against the Mandalore. He didn't even have the courage to face him directly." "Father wouldn't have fought him even if he had come to Kalevala to challenge him." Satine grips her fingers' hands as tightly as she can, shaking her head. "Why? We would never have joined the Mandalore either."
"I did."
Bo-Katan doesn't try to pull away, tightening her fingers around Satine's. Daffron has already spoken of doing the same when he is of age. And no one knows your loyalties in this war." "My loyalty is and always has been to our father." Satine draws a shuddering breath, tears stinging her eyes and blurring her vision. "To Clan Kreese."
"You cannot be loyal to both."
Bo-Katan's words are quiet, but no less harsh for that. And Satine yanks away, staring at her sister through her tears. "I'm not you to reject my name and family, Bo-Katan."
"I never rejected my name."
Bo-Katan lifts her chin, color rising in her cheeks. "Nor my family. Only Sande Kreese and his cruelty." Satine dashes away the tears from her eyes and gestures angrily at the armor Bo-Katan wears.
"You wear armor, and in colors of another clan. How dare you tell me you've not rejected us wearing that?"
"I wear the colors of the Mandalore while his son wears mine."
Bo-Katan glares back, her hands clenching into fists. The wolf of his soul painted on Kree's purple and white.
It feels like a blow to her chest. And Satine is silent for a long moment, staring at Bo-Katan.
We were to be defenders of the faithful. Her voice sounds thin and hoarse. Together. Voices a thunderclap of victory. I never forgot that. Bo-Katan holds out her hand, the midnight blue of her soul shifting in sparks around her, agitated and indistinct. Too close to be solidly her own, too far for the swan to swallow it whole. Please, Satine, don't leave me, not now. You already left. Satine wraps her arms around herself, watching Bo-Katan's extended hand. She wants to reach out to take it, desperately, but she can't. Not with a sharp ache still settling behind her breastbone. You left, and now our father's dead, and for what? All he wanted was to find peace, to give Clan Kree's peace. The price for his peace was one I couldn't pay, not alone, not without you. Bo-Katan's hand doesn't waver, and Satine can feel her sister's gaze fixed on her face. You never saw the misery among those who did not fit Sande's vision of what his new Mandalorian should be. How could she have seen, when she was sent off before she was even 12, and never seen Kalevala outside their home? How did Bo-Katan see, when she never should have had any more chance than Satine? Drawing a sharp breath, Satine closes her eyes, desperately wishing that she could unhear what had been said. That she could unhear the echoes of messages that she'd only ever gotten parts of. So much of it cut out, and she never asked by who or why. Had focused on learning what she had been sent to learn, so she could become the ruler she'd been told she would be, since she had been old enough to understand what was spoken to her. I never left you, Satine. Letting out a shuddering breath, Satine opens her eyes again, ignoring Bo-Katan's hand to wrap her arms around her sister in a hug. Holding on while she sees their swan settle around them out of the corner of her eye. It hadn't vanished, no matter what had changed. Truth that she could not, would not shut out, no matter how much she hurts. No matter how hard it is. Jango waits as the ship lands, one hand on his blaster as he waits. Bo-Katan had been close-lipped about why she had left so abruptly after Sande Kreese's death, and he has an uneasy feeling making his insides churn, wondering what she'd been looking for and what she had found. The first figure down the ramp isn't Bo-Katan, though her features are similar enough that Jango can place her as Satine Kreese, Bo-Katan's sister and the oldest of the siblings. A cream-colored creature dances around her, something that looks harmless and insignificant, save in that he can see it at all. Satine studies him for a long moment, before a small smile curls her lips without touching her eyes. Looking over her shoulder, the smile becomes more genuine, warming her expression as she waits for Bo-Katan to come down the ramp to join her. Jango wants to stare as the sparks flare and shift with the proximity of the sisters. He's never heard of siblings that are that close, save as small children, and to see it now makes the uneasy feeling intensify. All the more at the great swan that rises above them, wings spread and hissing defiance and challenge as they join hands, watching him with near-identical expressions. "Welcome to Mandalore, Duchess Kreese." Jango's glad his voice doesn't crack any longer, though there's a strain to it on Satine's clan name that makes him want to wince. "Thank you." Satine nods her head regally, staying still for a moment. Bo-Katan pulls her into motion, approaching Jango with measured steps and eyes fixed above his head. Until they're close enough, he could reach out to touch them, and the familiar faded sparks of his own soul flare and vanish, changing around them as it prowls around the three. Long extinct, but still the greatest symbol of the Mandoade, and Jango wonders that it appears now for them. "A snarl of challenge, a dare to any who would stand against us." Sadine's voice is quiet, ragged-edged steel, and her expression is mixed sorrow and determination when Jango meets her gaze. She holds out the hand not holding Bo-Katan's, waiting patiently for him to take it. Silent promise of what's already been spoken thrumming between them. "Let Vizsla throw himself against the Mandalore and find the jaws of death waiting for him." The end. Reader's notes.
I love it. I love it so much. There's so many. Okay, I have to like unpack a bunch of feelings that I have right here. But feeling the first, Jango Fett's spirit is the fucking mythosaur. I love it. Especially considering that he was the Mandalore at 16, which I understand alternate universe canon divergence, so possibly he's 15 here. I love it so much. And he's going to become the Mandalore, and then also the implication that Jango and Bo-Katan are, you know, in a committed relationship enough to wear each other's soul animal on their armor, which is beautiful. Plus the idea that Satine and Bo are so close that their soul animal manifestation, that it changes when they're in contact with each other, that it goes from being the one thing to a greater whole. I love it. I love the idea that part of the reason that Satine's and Bo's parents like divided their children so early was because like maybe Satine and Bo-Katan are having like a Sam and Dean kind of moment with like codependence, and they're like, you know, what's the best way to sever that? To put them on separate planets. Plus, the idea that Satine and Bo reuniting on the side of the true Mandalorians against the Death Watch, and that Satine is bringing the new Mandalorian perspective to the fight with the true Mandalorians, because I can see them both being so very iron stubborn in their vision for Mandalore's future, and having the new Mandalorians and the true Mandalorians on the same side against the Death Watch terrorists, words, I was about to say televangelists, which is not quite the right thing, but having this vision with a slightly more, we don't have to reject all of our culture, but we also don't have to take it to its fullest extent, and oh, so great. Plus, if you've got Satine's sort of connection to the Jedi, what with how Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon were involved with keeping Satine and Bo's family alive during the earlier stages of the Mandalorian Civil War, then when the whole thing goes down with the Battle of Galadron, when that all goes down and the Death Watch is like, hey Jedi, come kill these new Mandalorians, the Jedi have a connection with Satine, so there'll be slightly less wholesale slaughter there, which means that the true Mandalorians upper echelon infrastructure of, you know, people in power and all that nonsense won't all get slaughtered in one place, which will not leave a power vacuum for the Death Watch to swoop in and take over the planet, which means, ultimately, that Satine does not die at the hands of Maul, Jango Fett does not spend 7 years as a slave in the back of a spice freighter, possibly does not go on to become the greatest bounty hunter of all time, and is not employed by Darth Tyranus to be the template for the clone army. Instead, we've got Jango and Bo ruling their portion of Mandalore, Satine having her portion of Mandalore, and the enemy of my enemy is my friend, where we will take over and become the new Roman Empire of outer space. And the Clone Wars will have to go some other way because there are not clones of Jango Fett. Beautiful! Soulmates of you with soul animals or whatever. I also really like the idea that that line in there about how Jango has never seen siblings that are so close like that as adults, which just, I know I just outlined the whole way the Clone Wars was averted, but like, can you imagine 100 million clones who all have that same kind of thing as Satine and Bo, where their visible soul manifestation, like, shows up as this enhanced and collaborative animal? I don't know. I think it's fantastic. It just, so good. So good for me. Plus the idea that, that Bo and Satine are sisters who depend on each other to provide strength in times of crisis, and that, like, differing political ideas, but they aren't severed by 20 years of separation, and, families, sisters supporting each other. Tiny Jango Fett as basically a fetus. A voice cracking. I like it so much. Morgan Larry has some really exciting stuff going on in this universe. If you're interested in more stuff in the same, not consecutive stories, but within the same visible soul universe, the series is called We Are Defiance, and the additional story is The First Steps, which is a Padme, Anakin, Obi-Wan shenanigans with pod racing and visible souls, and man-eating unicorns. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day.